This past Tuesday morning, I was doing my mom's weekly grocery shopping at our local Giant store in Springfield. So I was pleasantly surprised to see things were finally getting back to some kind of normalcy. For instance, that Campbell's soup. All the little soup things were filled up. And so they had my mom's favorite home-style chicken noodle soup. And then I went to the paper products aisle and so on. All kinds of toilet paper, paper towels. I rejoiced, hard to believe. You know, to think, here we are, finally getting back to normal, thank you, Lord. And then as I was pushing my cart with my little mask on, fogging up my glasses, making sure I followed the right little arrows, because I've been yelled at before for that one. But anyway, so I was thinking, how much more should we be so grateful for the gift of the Holy Eucharist, that Christ feeds us? During this unpleasant time of this virus and shutdown, Father Scheer and I have been very edified of how people have expressed their longing to come back to Mass. When we were finally able to have people, that they came, some had tears in their eyes when they received Holy Communion. How beautiful that is. And yet, there may be those that think, well, TV's okay, but it's not. No matter what we do, live streaming isn't going to satisfy, really, what we experience here and the gift that we receive through the Holy Eucharist. So for good reason, having concluded our Easter celebration, last weekend celebrating the Feast of the Holy Trinity, today we dedicate this Sunday to the Feast of Corpus Christi, the solemnity of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. So my brothers and sisters, when we look at this beautiful gift, we're really celebrating the greatest miracle of all. Christ, in our gospel passage today, said that he is the bread of life that has come down from heaven. In our first passage, we hear of how the Jewish people received the manna from God that fed them on the way to the promised land. We receive this great miraculous food that not only gives us nourishment for this life's journey, but will carry us through to the journey to the true promised land, heaven. So Jesus, we remember, at the Last Supper, took bread, took wine. He said to the apostles, "This is my body, this is my blood." He truly was, miraculously, sharing with them his body, blood, soul, and divinity. So with the same efficacious words by which our Lord could cure the blind man or the crippled man, calm a storm, multiply the loaves and the fish, raise Lazarus from the dead, change water into wine, he could change that bread and wine in a miraculous, mysterious way into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. In the gospel, the question comes up, how can he do this? Jesus is talking about feeding us with his body and blood. How can he do this? Well, he can do it because he's Christ. If he can do those other miracles, he can do this miracle too. And so this miraculous gift really fulfills what our Lord did teach in the gospel passage, which is part of chapter 6 of John's gospel, the bread of life discourse, that follows the miracle of the loaves and the fish. Jesus said, "I am the living bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me." Also, the gift of the Holy Eucharist unites us not only in a communion personally with our Lord, but unites us as a church. I always tell the second graders that I ask them, what makes us a family? You know, people a family. And so you have mom, dad, brothers, sisters, grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles, and so on. Well, my mom always said, you're flesh and blood. And that's what's important with a family. Well, same thing here. Because of Holy Communion, we're not only united with our Lord, we're united truly with the Heavenly Father. We can call him Father, like we do in the Our Father. And we can rightfully call Jesus not just Lord and Savior, but like our brother. We can refer to our Blessed Mother as our mother. And we are indeed brothers and sisters in Christ. We're bound together by this beautiful gift. And then, too, we rely on this food as we continue on, because we know, poor victims of original sin, we aren't perfect. We need nourishment. We need strength. And the Holy Eucharist gives us that strength through this life to eternal life. And so this gift continues on. Jesus said to the apostles, "Do this in remembrance of me." He ordained them as his priests. They were to act in his name and his person, and they were to carry on the mission. Most importantly, they were to continue the offering of the Holy Mass. So each time we gather here for Mass, the priest, again, acting in the person of Christ, is going to offer a sacrifice in an unbloody way, a sacramental way, that participates in the ever-living reality, the ever-present reality of our Lord's passion, death, and resurrection. We truly represent it. It's not as though we're just reenacting something that happened back in the year 33 AD. No, this is something that is living. We are, in a timeless way, participating in the Last Supper, the sacrifice, the resurrection of our Lord. And so, in a few moments, the priest begins the Eucharistic prayer, and he is going to offer that bread and wine. He says over it the words of Christ, having called down first the Holy Spirit at what we call the epiclesis. When he says, "This is my body, this is my blood," we truly believe a miracle takes place, that under this appearance, this form of bread and wine, Christ does share with us his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Granted, what it looks like, what we call the characteristics, or technically the accidents, like color, shape, smell, taste, touch, and so on, those things don't change. But the what it is changes. We aren't receiving just a symbol. We are not receiving just a blessed piece of bread. We're receiving Christ, truly present. Notice, too, it's really not me so much doing this as it is Jesus working through me. Because when we come to those words of consecration, notice how a priest shifts from past tense to present tense, from third person to first person. It's like Christ is using me, poor instrument that I am, to make this sacrifice happen again in that timeless sense, and for that bread and wine to be transubstantiated into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so, my brothers and sisters, what a wonderful gift this truly is that we have. And we are united then as a church. We have the food we need that will lead us to the promised life of heaven. Keep in mind, though, that as we pray in the preface, "And so we approach the table of this wondrous sacrament, so that bathed in the sweetness of your grace, we may pass over to the heavenly realities foreshadowed." Another important point to keep in mind, though, is it's like the phrase, "You are what you eat." So if you eat junk food, your health turns to junk. So we have to try to eat in a healthy way. Well, the Holy Eucharist keeps our soul healthy. If we really are opening our hearts to our Lord with that best faith that we can have, then that nourishment is going to change us. We will be more mindful of Christ's presence. We will be more striving to be like Christ. Here we think, too, that not only is it about being part of Mass and receiving communion, just praying before the Blessed Sacrament in adoration. This is why, for instance, like Mother Teresa and her sisters, the sisters of the Missionary Sisters of Charity, and many other religious communities, begin their day with an hour of prayer before the Holy Eucharist in the tabernacle, and then they offer the Mass, receive Holy Communion, and then they go out and do their work. That gives them, though, the mindset that what work they're doing is the work of Jesus, and they're working with Jesus, and they're looking to Jesus in those that they serve. So we have to look at this in a very special way, and on this day, have that sense of reverence and devotion. Sometimes people will say, how can this really be? Because poor human beings that we are, we do struggle. I think especially because we live in such a scientific, technological kind of age. We like to explain things and so on. Well, this is a matter of miraculous. Only God can do this. But the Lord does grant helps to prove this. And this is in the Eucharistic miracles that have occurred over the centuries. The earliest one that I know, and one that I have seen, is one that occurred back about the year 700 in Lanciano, Italy. Lanciano is a little city right on the Adriatic coast of Italy. So this monk was offering Mass at the monastery of St. Longinus. Other monks were there in the choir stalls. He was having troubles. He was wondering, when I say these words, does this really happen? And all of a sudden, it truly, physically changed. That bread did become visibly, totally human flesh. And that cup of wine became totally, visibly blood. Well, he was aghast, and the monks thought, this is truly a miracle. They called the bishop, and they sealed the relics. And, of course, eventually the blood dried, and then also the bread or the body dried. And it's been kept in reliquaries. But it's interesting. Back in 1971, Pope Paul VI, and then 10 years later, Pope John Paul, allowed scientists to do a forensic analysis. They were scientists from the medical school at the University of Siena. So they came, and they were very objective, and they found that the flesh was human flesh, and it had the properties, after all these years, of fresh flesh. Also, it came from the heart muscle, the myocardium. The scientists also said that only a trained modern-day pathologist using modern-day surgical equipment could have made such a cut. Someone in the Middle Ages could not have done that. They looked at the blood, and they found that it is human blood. It has the properties of fresh blood. It's type AB, which is really very uncommon for us, but not for the Jewish people. And that blood matched what was in the Shroud of Turin and the Sudarium of Oviedo. So here is a miracle. And I was there, and I look, and you say, help me to believe. It's there. Increase my faith, Lord. It's something that moves one. This has happened other times. In 1996 in Buenos Aires, and then other places too. So our Lord allows these kinds of miracles to happen to help us believe in the miracle that happens every time we offer Mass. So on this day, ask yourself, do you really believe in this world today? Do you really believe we have to pray, Lord, increase my faith? We have to also ask ourselves, am I truly living in communion with Christ each day of my life, in all that I do? Am I living in accord with the community of the church's teachings? We have to ask ourselves, do I really spiritually prepare myself to receive Holy Communion? St. Paul reminds us, a man should examine himself first. Only then should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. He who eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks a judgment upon himself. So my brothers and sisters, take to heart the words we just heard. Maybe go home this afternoon, pull out your Bibles, read chapter 6 of St. John's Gospel. Ponder what our Lord teaches. For Jesus said, for my flesh is true food, and my blood, true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. May God bless you.